Welcome to the 312 Show. I'm Ollie Katz here alongside Zach Joshua. On this podcast, we have a great one in store for you guys. We're going to talk a little bit of basketball as well as some music.
Yeah, we got a great show for you guys. We have a special guest this episode, and his name is Trevor Boyd. Trevor, say what's up.
Yo, what's going on, guys? I appreciate you having me on the show, man.
Yeah, no problem. We're going to talk about basketball, some music stuff. It's going to be a great show.
Everybody, before we get into this, do Trevor a favor. Go follow him on his Instagram. Trevor, what's the handle?
It's at underscore Trevor Boyd, underscore T-R-E-V-O-R-B-O-Y-D. Yes, sir.
Go follow him. Everybody go follow him there. And while you're at it, go follow us on Instagram at the 312 Show. Let's get into it.
Yeah.
So, Trevor, obviously we're living in these desperate times.
Yeah, man.
With the coronavirus. We wanted to ask you just what is your personal experience, you know, with this self-quarantine and how is it affecting you and some of the things you love?
Yeah, it's really crazy right now, man. It's there's no sports, you know what I'm saying? There's, like, I can't go out. I can't get any fresh air, really. It's just been really boring. I've just been, trying to keep my head above water, man, not try and get too far into it. I've been trying to, like, pick up old hobbies that I haven't had time to do because of school, sports, all of that. But, yeah, I think people should just try and, you know, look at the positive side of things and try new things. Yeah, that's the best advice I can give to people. Yeah, that's been my experience since we've been at home.
Any shows you've been watching recently?
I've been watching that Ken Burns baseball documentary again, man. That's crazy.
Yeah.
I rewatched Euphoria. That's a great show.
Is that good? It's on HBO,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, it is. It's really good, man. It's real crazy. But it's worth the watch. Yeah, man, I've just been trying to, like, pick up some new things if I can, or, you know, just rework old things that I used to do that I haven't had time to do, but it's been super boring.
You're obviously, you know, a huge basketball fan, you know.
Yeah.
Obviously a very passionate man, but basketball ranks, you know, at the top
for
of
sure.
These things you're really passionate
for sure.
About.
For sure.
Talk to us a little bit about, you know, how this whole COVID situation is affecting your personal, you know, love for basketball, both playing it and following the sport.
Man, it was... That night where they announced that the season was over was really crazy because, you know, that's my favorite thing to do when I get to the house, man, just unwind, watch a little basketball. And I was watching the game. It was a national game on ESPN Wednesday. It was a game between the Dallas Mavericks and the Denver Nuggets. And the exact point when I came downstairs to watch a game after I was done eating, finishing homework, whatever, they were about to go to commercial break. And it was Dave Pasch and Doris Burke calling the game, and they said, "We got a crazy, like a special announcement, or we have like a huge announcement after we come back from break." And that's when they broke it to everybody that, like, the season was over, and that Rudy Gobert had contracted the virus. And I was just sitting there in shock, like,
and
I didn't
and that,
know what to make of it.
That announcement was like on a dime, like,
yeah,
like, we all thought, oh, the season would be suspended, whatever, play the game with no fans, and then they just. You know, in the matter of like a week, I think less than a week,
it just canceled
the season.
Man.
Yeah.
Personally,
and it was real crazy.
Go ahead. No. Keep finish that.
No, I was gonna say it was like super crazy how they, you know, they had the players in the OKC Jazz game, and they were all on the floor, suited up in uniform, finished warm ups, and they're about to jump. And then the doctor came out there and told him that Rudy had coronavirus, and they sent everybody home from that game. I was like, this cannot be real life right now, man.
Did you see the video of the doctor running out? That was crazy.
Yeah,
it was like straight out of a movie.
Really crazy.
Crazy.
Yeah.
I mean, this is nothing we've ever seen before. I mean,
yeah,
things
nuts.
Like life is being put on hold, and it's crazy.
Yep. Yeah.
Personally, I was at the Cavs Bulls game the night before they said that there would be no more fans. You know, in the stands. And personally, being at an NBA game, you would have never expected that the next day they would have shut everything down.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it turned, like Zach said, literally on a dime. Like, it went from, you know, being a sold-out crowd to having absolutely nothing. Like, there was no fade-out, there was no nothing except for, you know, the world just kind of being in shock that obviously Rudy Gobert contracted the virus, but also that, you know, the league was going to be on shutdown for, you know, an indefinite period of time.
It definitely came completely out of left field, man. Like, I just never thought that that would happen. I thought they would, you know, have games with no fans. But that decision from the NBA was the turning point with every other sports league. And, like, basically in the world, man, when the NBA decided to make that decision, it was like a domino effect. You know, March Madness fell out of place the next day in baseball and hockey.
Yeah, how are you affected by that? How are you affected by March Madness, obviously, as a basketball fan?
Man, it's crazy, man. I just feel bad for these kids, you know, because March Madness is a great experience for, you know, some kids that aren't as well known throughout college basketball to make a name for themselves, so they can, you know, get to that next level of the NBA, man. Those performances by freshmen or, you know, untalented, you know, other players to get into the league, March Madness is the biggest stage, and I just feel like, you know, they weren't able to display their talents. So it's messing people's, like, money up too in some points, man. It's crazy.
And teams like Rutgers, I know, is their first time in the tournament in a while.
Yeah.
And you Illinois know, it sucks. Yeah, it sucks. Illinois was going to make a good run. Yeah, it sucks.
They were nice.
Yeah.
It's really a dream crushing thing, man.
And I think after March Madness got canceled, like, no matter what else got canceled, everyone just felt numb, you know, numb to the pain. Because, like, March Madness was, like, the, you know, like, probably one of the biggest sporting events because it's over a month, you know. Yep. And I think everyone just felt numb after that.
Yeah, man. What really hurt me a lot was when they, like, the whole thing that's going on with baseball right now, because there's so much uncertainty, man.
Yeah.
I haven't heard anything about what they're going to do with baseball. You know, they had to cancel the last week of spring training. And this was especially for me because I'm a huge baseball fan as well as I am basketball. And, you know, I don't have an allegiance even though I live here in Chicago. I know a lot of people think it's weird, but I root for the Sox and Cubs equally, man. And with the hype going around with the Sox, how they're able to put a lot of pieces together in the offseason. And, you know, the sense of redemption that the Cubs need after the last 2 years. Right. I was really looking forward to this year, man. But it's, like, so crazy.
So, yeah, I mean, we are definitely living history. And, you know, having no sports puts a lot of things into perspective. Talk to me, you know, as you and Zach are teammates, you know, on the Lane Tech basketball team. Talk to me a little bit about your personal basketball career.
So it's funny how, like, how I met these two guys. We used to play each other in the private school middle school league. We were like rivals, man. And since it was crazy how we all ended up at the same school and how, you know, we ended up on the same team. But yeah, we were supposed to start spring workouts for junior varsity next week.
Yeah.
Or in 2 weeks, and now just all of that uncertainty, there's probably not going to be summer league for us anymore.
Yeah, summer league is the best part, too.
Yeah.
It's fun. So,
but I think we had a lot of fun during the basketball season.
Yeah, it was great. It was great.
Yeah. And for me, it was a little tougher because I had to deal with a lot of injuries, and it was just like I had never played so much basketball at once, but the camaraderie between the team was something special, man. Those are like my brothers now.
Zach and Trevor, talk to me and the fans about some of the stuff that you personally have learned from playing basketball and, you know, stuff you've learned about yourself.
I'll let Zach get this one first, man.
You know, basketball really teaches you heart, and I learned this year, like, the sky's the limit, you know? Like, you can always run faster, you can always do more push-ups, you can always keep going, and you just got to get past that little mental barrier to, like, push you past. And I think I learned a lot about that. Leadership, too, because this is probably the most serious I've ever taken basketball, you know. And it's crazy, like, playing in front of a bunch of fans. Like, we had a lot of fans coming out to some of our games. Yeah.
Yeah, I would say the same thing. I think the thing that I got most out of it was commitment, man. It was a huge commitment, especially just being freshmen. You know, that means we had to get up at 5 every morning. We had 6 a.m. practice and then go to school, man, especially for me being injured for a lot of the season. you know, when I'm still going there, even if I'm not working out, I'm still, you know, I'm still being there with my guys, you know, getting up at 5 to not even work out. It's just like, it's a huge commitment, but it's like, if you can do it, man, it's just like, it shows, you know, there's a lot of things that, especially I learned from playing basketball, that people look at when you're not even on the floor. It's about character. It's about a lot of stuff like that. It just taught a lot of life lessons about, like, being a man and being held accountable, man. It was really a great experience.
That's awesome, man. Obviously, you know, you're an avid basketball fan, as we have discussed.
Yeah.
You are a Bulls fan, correct?
Yeah, I am. I'm a Bulls fan, yep.
Talk to us where you see the Bulls going, you know, in the next few years.
It's just like, these guys don't really have a plan, man.
It's messed up. I mean, we got to get really, rid of the front office.
We've been saying fire guard packs for I don't know how many years now, man. They just can't seem to get it together. We don't have our coach Boylan, you know, they signed him to that extension, but he's really just like an incompetent basketball mind. He doesn't really know what he's doing at all whatsoever out there, man. It's just tough just to see, like, you know, what this Derrick Rose, Jimmy Butler era has turned into in Chicago, man. And it sucks because nobody wants to come play here because of our management. And, you know, this is Chicago, like the third biggest market in the country. It's just, like, yeah, really disappointing.
You saw it during the All-Star game, too. Like,
yep.
Even if it was snowing, I mean, people still loved it. It was probably, I think it was one of the best All-Star games of all time.
Oh, easily. No, like,
the atmosphere and everything. The Rising Stars game was unbelievable.
That was such a great experience to be at, man.
Yeah. Yeah.
You guys were there together, correct?
Yeah.
Yeah, we did.
How was that atmosphere? Like, I was watching it on TV and it looked awesome.
Unreal. I mean,
it was, yeah. I can't.
Most famous people I've ever seen.
I mean, just like for the whole city to just, like, I don't know, it kind of like united the city in a way, having All-Star Weekend here, man. There was, like, I know there were, like, stats of, like, how there was less violence going on here during that weekend. It just made everything, like really peaceful and nice, man. We were just able to celebrate the game that a lot of us love in a city where that's so rich with basketball history, man. It was great.
I wanna go back to the Bulls, Trevor.
Yeah.
What do you think the Bulls need in the draft? Like, the position that we're gonna go for in the first round of the draft. What do you think?
We need a decent forward, man. Otto Porter's making too much money for his production for him not to be healthy. Ever since he's got this contract, and he got that contract in Washington, he hasn't been healthy, man.
Yeah.
But we also, you know, I don't know about Lauri Markkanen either. He hasn't been able to be healthy. And when he's been on the court, he's shown signs of greatness, but he's just too inconsistent.
I think he should be gone. We got to trade him to the – I feel like Otto the Knicks Porter. Would take him.
Otto Porter.
While he still has some value.
Yeah.
Otto Porter, obviously he hasn't been playing all the games and he's been hurt a lot, but he's averaging 11.9 points on 22 minutes. You know, and what's he making? Like, here, let me look up his salary.
He's looking up, he's making like 26 million, right? A year? Yeah.
Over 27 million a year.
$27 million for that?
Come on.
For that.
That's ridiculous. I don't know why. I don't remember. I don't know why they would
pick up that contract. I don't know why, because you got guys like Zach LaVine who are going to be asking for big deals that we're not going to be able to afford.
Zach might ask to be traded this summer.
Yeah. I wouldn't be surprised if he goes to the Lakers.
Yeah.
This year, Otto Porter is making 27 and a fourth. Next year, he's going to be making 28 and a half.
Yeah, nah. We got to
drop 12 points a game.
And I don't, at this point, I don't know who's going to pick up his contract. You know what I'm saying? So it's no like they've dug themselves in a hole, man. It's just kind of ridiculous.
You know, the Knicks will take that contract.
Yeah, I know. Knicks are a dump. Well, unless
could be a Cavs fan.
Dolan, which I really don't. I am a Cavs fan. My mom is born and raised in Shaker Heights, bro.
Oh, yeah, that's true. That's true. Your mom's dad was the principal of my dad in my mom's high school.
Yep. In the 90s, mid-90s, yeah.
That's pretty hilarious.
So, yeah, it's real, Shaker Heights high, baby. World, bro. Yeah, Sersky. Yeah, it's a small world, man.
Yeah, but I've, you know, it's been tough to have to root for two teams in the same division my whole life, but I've always been a diehard Cavs fan. Diehard Bulls fan. The Cavs need to figure some stuff out too, man.
Absolutely. I was at the game.
312 podcast, but
I was at the game against the Bulls, and they could not get anything going.
Nope.
Anything.
I don't know what they're thinking. They have two big men and two guards.
Our team is solid. And
two centers.
Dude, if they get Denny Avdija in the draft, it's over.
Then they'd be all right. And they might be okay, but
he's also a perfect fit for the Bulls. I mean, if the Bulls have a chance to get him, they need to pull the trigger on him.
Yep, but the Bulls, we're going to end up in the same spot that we have been for the last 4 years. It's going to be the seventh or eighth pick,
and we always go conservative. Never works.
Yep.
I mean, Kobe White should have been starting at the beginning of the season. I don't know why, because
he got his first start the last game of the year, didn't he? Wasn't that his first start?
We knew we weren't getting anything. We knew we weren't going to the playoffs. You know, we're not going to make it to the playoffs with this team. You might as well give him some experience. Yep. And I think it was a waste because we could have won games with him. I mean, I know he needs to improve his IQ on the floor, but that's when you need to take time to, you know.
He's a raw talent. Yeah, that's what he is. He's a raw talent.
I saw him in Vegas, and he dropped like 35 points on Texas. It was unbelievable.
Yeah. Oh, and at UNC?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a bucket, man. He's a certified bucket. They're just, you know, the Bulls aren't really using him correctly.
Anything else you want?
Star too, man. Zach is a star, man.
Yeah, and you know,
if they're able to just put pieces around him, we could do something in the East, man. The East is so weak, dog. Like if you look at the bottom two teams in the Eastern Conference, you know what I'm saying? They're all under 500.
Yeah.
So.
The Bulls were still up for the eighth spot. I mean, a bunch of teams were still up for the eighth spot. It's crazy.
Yeah.
Anything else you want to add before we transition into something else?
Nah, I'm good, man.
Yeah, I think we're good.
All right. So another thing, obviously, that you're super passionate about, and if you follow him on Instagram, he's out constantly updating, you know, everybody else on what's happening in the music world. You know, and I know you participate in listening to, you know, pretty much every genre. You know, you're a very balanced music listener, you know, and as you're talking to two people who also, you know, really love music. So we wanted to just, you know, talk about music for a little while. And I think there's no better way to, you know, give everybody else a sense of, you know, what you're bringing to the table with your music love than to do a little Mount Rushmore segment.
Oh, true. All right.
People love Mount Rushmore.
With your favorite genre, hip hop. So let's hear it. Let's hear your 90s Mount Rushmore.
All right, so I think like my 90s Mount Rushmore has got to be Biggie, Tupac, Tribe Called Quest, and Nas. Man, those are like my four, like, that make the 90s for me. But I like my honorable mentions. I had, you know, Snoop, N.W.A., Public Enemy, De La Soul, Wu-Tang, Outkast. Like, they were all great in the 90s. But, like, I think, you know, those core four I said are, like, the ones that are really... That scream 90s to me.
That's a good one.
All right.
And for all the listeners, comment down on the when you guys listen to this. Comment down if you guys have anything to say. We read the comments last time.
Let me know if I'm tripping or not.
Yeah.
All right, let's move on to the 2000s.
I gotta say Jay-Z, Lil Wayne, 50 Cent. And Kanye, man. Those are like the four that really like made the 2000s like what they are, man.
I think that one's perfect. You know I'm a huge Kanye fan.
Of course.
you know,
that's Zach and I have just gone into ridiculous conversations about Kanye. Man.
Yeah. Like, I mean he's like an insane genius. I don't even know how to describe it.
Yeah. And then like some honorable mentions I have are, you know, Eminem.
Yeah, Eminem for sure.
And then I also put the Neptunes in there, man. The Neptunes are like, man, I love the Neptunes so much, bro. Like Pharrell's like one of my favorite. Like he's like my idol, man. Like what he was able to do, like transcend like every genre and just like put his stamp on everything. Like he's like one of the greatest, man.
That's a great list again. Let's move on to some of the more current names in the 2010s.
I feel like, you know, this one's a little bit more straightforward, more recent in everybody's memory. You got to put Drake in there, man. As far as sales.
Yeah, 100%.
Nobody's beating Drake, man, like in the history of music, bro. Like, the way he's been able to sell records, it's crazy. It's crazy. The way he's been able to take over the music industry, it's crazy. I also got Kendrick Lamar in there. He's just been on a crazy run in the last, you know, 8-9 years. J. Cole as well. He's got to be up there. I'm just talking about the big core guys that have really, you know what I'm saying, done things in the 2010s.
Lil Uzi.
Lil Uzi's up there, man. He's dropped so many classics.
Yeah.
He was in my honorable mentions. I don't really have like a fourth. I know like those three guys are like the core.
I'm telling you, the fourth spot is always up for debate. I'm telling you. You can figure really out a top three easy.
Like certain guys I can throw in there, Travis, like that dude has dropped classics, man. Every album he's dropped is a classic.
I think you put Travis in that fourth spot.
Yeah, he might be, man. Like the way he's been able to influence music, man, like this melodic, like trap, like music that he's like really put his stamp on is crazy. I think you got Chief Keef, you know, the way he was able to influence the whole like this, man, Chief Keef is so influential, and people don't like to talk about it, but, like, he was super influential, same as Young Thug. Like, those are all guys that I think you could throw up in there. Tyler, the Creator, as well.
Yeah.
That's a great list again. Talk to us a little bit about you, where you see the direction of music, all music genres, not even just hip-hop, going, you know, 2020 and beyond.
I think in this age, you know, there's a lot of things that are... The music industry is so crazy because with everybody's access to technology, you know, I could blow up tomorrow, man. Like, if I just, like, find a beat on YouTube and say some ignorant lyrics, bro, like, I could promise I could blow up tomorrow, bro. And it's just like, you know, and, like, getting signed isn't even, like, a thing anymore. All you got to do is write, you know, steal somebody beat, put some lyrics on it, bro, and upload it to SoundCloud, and you could be the next sensation. So it's, like... It's kind of a transition period for music, really. Just finding out, like, a lot of artists are going independent. You know, it's like music is finding a new direction. Also with technology, the way that production is changing, you know, a lot of artists are straying away from live production, and using you know, programmed beats and melodies and songs. So everything is just kind of weird right now. I don't know. Like I love the way music is going, but I can just see how, you know, older people have a problem with it. But
you're absolutely right, man. And I think, you know, personally as a music creator, you know, and someone who is, you know, trying to in an early age, you know, immerse myself into the whole music making culture. You know, the music industry is entirely different than it was as, you know, some of these guys that you're talking about in your Mount Rushmore in the 90s and the 80s and the 70s, you know. And so personally making, you know, rock and roll music, you know, as, you know, obviously the music industry, I think, is headed, you know, into great places. But, you know, it's changing, you know.
Yeah, for real.
It's changing a lot.
Another thing is, go ahead.
Just like to add, like, personally, you know, recording albums and whatnot, you know, and releasing music with my band, you know, you really get the sense of, you know, streaming. And that's a whole, you know, different topic. And I think you touched on that a little, like the whole digital music age is here. You know, people are no longer buying records, you know, maybe, I guess, to buy them for like a little bit of aesthetic. But, you know, people can literally click one button and play their favorite song whenever. You know, when they, you know, back then had to go to the record store, buy the record, come back, you know, flip the disc.
Yeah, man. It's just like everything is different.
Everything is different, you
know,
better
or for worse.
Exactly. I think, you know, music has always been a progressive thing. You know, I think we can all agree on that, and music will never stop evolving and changing. But I think, you know, a new age of music is here.
Yeah, and another thing to add on with this whole age, man, you see a lot of these rappers out here starting their own labels, man. They want a piece of this, man. You know, I think, like, the guy who I really think, like, in my mind, has put on, like, the most, like, guys, Kanye with his label, man, Good Music. You know, he discovered Travis, he discovered Big Sean, he discovered, you know, so many other guys, man. Chance the Rapper, like, and a lot of artists are doing this, man. You know, Young Thug with YSL and The Weeknd, you know, he's putting on for XO and Travis with Cactus Jack, and they all had their artists, and it's just like everybody's trying to discover new talent and put them on, you know. That's a big thing in hip-hop as well, man. It's just like, if you're able to, like, find somebody and you're able to put them on, be their mentor, like, that's another, like, big thing, a part of the culture, man.
Yeah, I think Kanye started that, like, the more business side of music. Yeah, and instead
he definitely, for this new age, you know, he was the, you know, the pioneer for that.
Yeah, and I think we're going to see more and more of that, of, like, rappers starting their own brands, you know?
Yeah.
Because they can. I mean, like, why sign with someone else when you can create a bigger brand for yourself, extend your reach?
So, Trevor, you know, obviously, you know, in this situation, we're all sitting at home, got nothing to do. Shed a little light on, obviously, what you're listening to right now, not only rap, but just what's, you know, on the Trevor playlist currently.
Man, 2019 was such a disappointing year for music. Throughout a lot of genres, man, there was not a lot of new music that I found entertaining, but that's all changed. This year, man, there's been just an influx of so much, like, great new music that's dropped. What I've been listening to recently, the new Lil Uzi projects are phenomenal, man. Like, it was totally worth the 3 years of not having an Uzi project, man. He came and he delivered, like, I love the two new albums. I love Don Toliver's new album, man. I don't know if a lot of people know about Don Toliver, but he's a guy who signed to Travis's label Cactus Jack, and he dropped an amazing project called Heaven or Hell, man. There's so much great music on there. I think, you know, give him a little time and he's gonna really blow up. And he already sold 45,000 records his first week, so there's a lot of guys like Rich the Kid and Blueface who are more prominent names. Who can't even sell that much their first week. So I think that he's on the rise. This new Weekend album is phenomenal. Yeah.
That was amazing. That's number one on Spotify in the world right now.
Yep. Yeah. The Weekend, it will deliver, man. And, like, that album is great. It's great. It's like the vibes, that, you know, I feel like that and the Don Toliver record are like the vibes that we need right now. During this whole time. Party Next Door dropped an album that I've been listening to.
Yeah.
It's not my favorite, but it's enjoyable, man. He dropped a decent project.
Joyner Lucas, also ADHD. I like that.
I haven't listened to it yet.
It's good. It's good. I like it.
People tell me it's good. Future dropped a new single last night, Tycoon. It's typical Future. It's fire.
Turks with Nav, Travis, yes. And Gunna.
Yes, man. I think Nav is garbage, but he was able to do something all right on that song. And Gunna and Travis did their thing, but Nav, he surprised me. He did pretty well on it. Yeah, that's just really what I've been listening to. As far as new music, go ahead.
I know you're a fan of, you know, live music, and not to cut you off, but I'm sure everybody wants to hear, you know, as you know, you're sitting also with me and Zach, who, you know, loves going to see live shows and have seen a bunch together, yes, as well as, you know, respectively. Talk to us a little bit about, you know, some live music experiences that you've had.
Man, I'm just like, I'm so blessed, man. I've seen, like, every one of my favorite artists, basically, man. I've seen Queens of the Stone Age 3 times, man. Queens of the Stone Age is elite, man. I know a lot of people don't, that goes right over their head. They don't know what it is, but, like, that's, like, as far as rock, like, that's my favorite band. I've seen Travis 2 times, seen Drake, seen Kendrick, I've seen Lil Uzi, Migos, Gucci Mane. Like, I've been blessed to, like, see a lot of my favorite acts in person. And, you know, as far as my favorites, like, the best performers, I would have to say, like, obviously everybody knows at this point how much of a dynamic and like, crazy performer Travis is. Just being able to see him is crazy, and his energy is infectious. Tame and Lil Uzi, like, those guys really know how to put on a show, man.
Yeah.
I've seen Steely Dan too. I've seen Steely Dan a couple times with my dad.
You know, hey, and all the listeners, put down, yeah, we want to hear your input too. We want to hear your experiences, everything, because it helps us, you know.
Personally, you know, I've seen all the greats, you know, and a few memorable ones are I saw Prince.
For you to be able to see Prince, that's nuts.
And it was less than a year before he died. I saw Tom Petty less than 2 months before he died. I've seen Neil Young a few times, you know, and I'm personally more immersed in the rock, you know, universe. But, you know, all what you know, some of these new rappers are doing, you know, is great stuff, you know, and it's the same, they're achieving the same thing, you know, as some of these guys who, you know, I'm a personal fan of, were doing a long time ago. You know, obviously, yeah. You know, you got the Rolling Stones, and, you know, you see all these documentaries, you know, obviously that Travis Scott documentary, which I was a really big fan of, it's you know, fish. And, you know, you got these Rolling Stones documentaries, and, you know, you see a really big parallel, you know, just trying to make a name for yourself, you know, and I'm an avid supporter of, you know, just revolutionizing the music, matter what it is.
And I think Travis deserves a lot of credit for his live show, man. Like, the way he's been able to, like, turn up crowds for the last, you know.
Absolutely,
seven,
man.
7 years, man. You know, like, when, a lot of people don't know this, but when he came to Lollapalooza, it was about 5 years ago, that man got arrested for starting a riot in Chicago, man. Like, he's really out here just trying to, like, give kids, like, the best experience of their lives, man. And there's a lot of guys who don't do that, which I appreciate why him and other guys like I mentioned, you know, are very devoted on giving kids a good experience. Because there's, you know, there's plenty of acts that come out all drugged up and, you know, they can't really, you know, give fans, like, what they're paying their money for. So I just really appreciate guys who really come out there and hone their craft and just trying to give a memorable experience. Because that's really what it's all about in the long run.
Yeah, man. I mean, personally, you know, as another, you know, thing to, you know, comment on that, I saw the Rolling Stones this summer, and, you know, obviously, you know, one of the biggest bands, one of the most influential bands, and these guys are, you know, in their late 70s.
Yeah, man.
You know, and you talk about performing, and, you know, these guys are still doing it, you know.
Yep.
And I think that's a big comment on, you know, what music can do for people. You know, you see 80-year-old men, you know, up there on stage performing in front of a sold-out Soldier Field, you know, a sold-out Staples Center, and you underestimate the power of music.
Yeah. And you know? I think more than any other thing, really, you know, like, ever, like, music has brought people together, man. It's just like a place where people can go without really going anywhere unless, you know, they go see... They go see the act, but, like, you can
exactly
it's a middle go ground, places yeah. without going anywhere by just listening to music. So I think, like, music is, like, the great equalizer in some cases.
Yep.
Absolutely, man. Zach, you got anything?
I was just going to say a few things. Today in history, we got 35 years ago, the Air Jordan 1s were released for
$65.
Wow. $65.
My ones, I paid $225. $65.
I got a pair of those, you know, Chicago ones, and they're like recreates, and they're still like reselling for, you know, over $600.
Yeah. Oh yeah, the Chicago's is like a classic colorway. I got the Shadows, which are like the bum, like, Jordan 1 retro, but, like, those are, like, in my opinion, like, one of the best because they go with literally everything. Yeah, what a great shoe. Like, I feel like that's, like, to me, like, one of the greatest shoes of all time.
That's the most iconic shoe of all time. That's what I believe has started this whole shoe.
Sneaker thing.
Yeah, sneaker thing, yep. Exactly. And speaking of Jordan,
no doubt.
11-part documentary coming out. They ESPN moved the release date up to April 19th. That is going to be unreal. Unreal.
That's hype. I just found out today that Kobe's going to be in it. That's going to be a bit of a tearjerker.
Yeah, I saw that on the ad.
But I'm really excited. I'm really, really super excited to see that.
I don't think anybody expected to be able to see like a behind the scenes sort of thing with that team, but this is like, this is going to be like a moment.
And we're going to do a recap of that show for sure, the whole Bulls thing. I mean, you can talk for an 11-part documentary about that thing. I mean, it's crazy.
Oh my God, it could be 50 parts. You know, it could there's be 50 so much parts. History yeah. behind it's, Chicago basketball and Michael Jordan obviously being the GOAT. You know, and so it's going to be, you know, packed full of, you know, great information, and you know, it's just a true, you know, homage to the city of Chicago and the basketball world.
And it's just so crazy how they're doing an 11-part documentary on just that one season, man. Like, and you know, they could have done it on any other season from that run. They could have done it on the 72-10 year, but they chose to do it on that last hurrah. So yeah. that's gonna be crazy to watch.
All right, Trevor. Well, we had a great time. Thank you so much for articulating all your great, you know, passionate feelings and thoughts. This has been the 312 podcast. Thank you so much for listening. We really hope you enjoyed.
Make sure you go follow us at the 312 show on Instagram. Thank you guys for everything. Trevor, thank you so much. This is the 312 show.